think of you.
You're listening to the best of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Tonight's show is from 1996. It's Art's very first interview with Father Malachi Martin. And now, the best of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
My guest is Dr. Malachi Martin. For more years than I have really considered adult things, he has done exorcisms. He is a fascinating man, and you're going to want to turn your radio up and just sort of settle down and listen carefully. We'll get back to him.
How would you like to increase your investment returns? Today, world tensions, rising oil prices, and stock market uncertainties, more and more people are turning to gold to protect and grow their savings and retirement accounts. Reports are everywhere. Forbes, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, even Merrill Lynch. Big money is moving to gold. And that's why gold investments outperformed all stock funds in 2001. And that's why even Art Bell has Lair Financial managing his own gold investments. As a satisfied client, he encourages you to call Lair Financial at 1-800-474-4259 to see how you too can protect and grow your own savings and retirement account. If you call 1-800-474-4259 now and mention Coast to Coast, you'll also get Lear's audio seminar titled, Why the Experts Picked Gold in 2002, a $29 value, the guide, the tape are free. But the offer is limited, so call 1-800-474-4259. That's 1-800-474-4259.
Have you thought about trying Viagra, but you just don't want to talk about it with your family doctor? Maybe it's just inconvenient or too much hassle to make an appointment. Well, now it's as easy as a phone call to Lifestyle Pharmaceutical Products. Now you can order the real Viagra for as little as $6 per standard 50-milligram dose. In just minutes over the phone, you'll be asked a few confidential questions pertaining to your health. No prior prescription needed. Your information will be reviewed by a physician, and upon doctor's approval, your Viagra will be shipped discreetly and delivered in just 2 business days. Or we can arrange for you to pick it up at any full-service FedEx location, no extra charge. Viagra by phone. It's easy, convenient, and completely confidential. No prior prescription necessary. Call now, 1-800-407-6252. That's 1-800-407-6252. Again, that's 1-800-407-6252.
What I'm advertising here should be in every single American household. Christmas would be just a great time for you to get it into the household of somebody you love. It's the Super Bajan Crank Up Radio. It's got a crank on the side. You turn it for 30 seconds. You get 30 minutes of radio, emergency radio, or everyday radio if you wish. Every time you turn that crank, 30 seconds, you get 30 minutes of radio and you get 30 minutes of emergency light because it's got this wonderful built-in recessed LED array light that comes out and it's on like a 10-foot cord or better and you can clamp it to whatever and use it as a work light and have radio. It's got a solar panel on top. It's so sensitive it will collect enough power from a 100-watt light bulb just above it to operate. Full time at full room volume. This is not a headphone thing. At full room volume, AM, FM, and shortwave radio, all wrapped up into this wonderful emergency instrument. Or everyday instrument, whatever. And it's the weekly special offer for Christmas. Right now, on sale, $119.95. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, there's even a better deal here. $119.95 on sale, but you buy three, and they go down to $99.95 each. That's a really, really good deal. So call the Sea Crane Company in the morning at 1-800-522-8863. They begin, the Christmas doors open at about 6:30 in the morning. 1-800-522-8863. What a great gift for anybody. The After Dark newsletter has been reporting subjects that we talk about right here on the show. And just like the show, After Dark has been evolving and changing and keeping folks guessing. You never know what you're going to get next, but it's always a lot of fun. Give yourself a treat and subscribe. Just log on to my website, artbell.com. Go to the library link on the left. You'll find the After Dark link in the menu there. Click and you can subscribe on the secure server. Or call any time of the day or night, toll free, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505 for only $39.95. You'll receive this four-color magazine every month for a year. Subscribe right now and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. Subscribe online at artbell.com or call right now, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. The following comes to me, as you might imagine, unsigned for a good reason. Doctor, I'm going to read you something. I'd like you to react to it, if you would.
Certainly.
Dear Art and Dr. Martin, in 1991, I made a pact with anyone that could get my girlfriend to come back. The response was by Satan. At that point, my eyes literally rolled back, and I heard only two words, 1 year. 1 year later, she broke up with me for no good reason. Several months later, I was asleep, had a dream that I was looking at myself in a mirror brushing my hair. When I looked at my eyes in the mirror, they turned totally black. The person was me, but the soul behind the eyes, evil. At that point, I knew exactly who it was, what I wanted, and how it got there. At this point, I was awake, tried to get up and turn on the lights, but was physically pushed back down to a prone position and could no longer move even a finger. To make matters worse, the bedroom door slammed shut, and I was cut off from the light in the hallway. What happened to this person?
This person accepted possession and was possessed and infested, and the demonic power took over. I'd love to know what happened subsequently. There's no doubt about it. It's a genuine, everything there is genuine, unless it's copied from a book, but it's a genuine phenomena.
These things really happen. Doors slam shut.
They really happen. They do. But you see, the Art, the point is this: that the if you go to a doctor and tell him that, you know, he sends you to a shrink.
Sure.
But it doesn't help to go to a shrink with these things at all, unless the shrink knows what he's talking about and sends you off to an exorcist. And apropos of that, remember you also got a letter or a fax from somebody asking you to desist, cease and desist from this conversation?
Correct.
I now know my reading of that is that their lifestyle is disturbed by being told the truth about demonic possession and harassment. To get back to this particular gentleman, I would love to know the result of, he won't tell us this time, perhaps some other time he will tell us what happened to him subsequently. Everything that's there sounds absolutely genuine.
Yes.
Has happened, is yes. Chronicled, is known to have happened to others, and is genuinely the effect of demonic infestation.
All right. One other, Doctor. Could you tell us, please, more about what you believe may be seen in the sky? You said keep your eye on the sky. Between now and next spring, what should we be looking for? And then, as a matter of fact, before you answer that, also he says, can we obtain Dr. Martin's books?
Yes, they can.
You have many books. You've been a very prolific
16,
writer.
16, and I have one at the present moment called Windswept House, which is about the present condition of the Church of Rome and of the present Pope and what's going to happen shortly to both. Because people may not realize it, because of the flourishing condition of the church, apparently, we are in deep crisis in the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm a priest. I say Mass every morning. I baptize babies. I hear confessions, etc. So I'm a traditional priest. But I know we're in deep doo-doo, in deep trouble. And this book is about, that's my latest book, but it's the 16th book I've written.
It's called Windswept House.
That's right, published by Doubleday.
Doubleday. So your books are generally available in bookstores?
That's right, they are, or in paperback. This one is still not in paperback. It will be next year.
What, doctor, are ghosts?
Ghosts?
Yes, sir.
Genuine ghosts are visitations by people already dead who are allowed by God to visit the living for some reason or other, usually known to the person visited, but not admitted by them until they wake up. There are some cases where what we call ghosts is demonic infestation of a house or a city or a street. It does happen.
Have you had occasion where you have exorcised a spirit or a ghost or whatever it is from a house, from a structure?
In a house, yes.
Yes.
Going from room to room and expelling the demon. It must be done. I'll be doing that in December in Washington, D.C.
You are in your 70s. Again, I ask you, concern about yourself, does there not come a time when physically you should refrain from doing this?
Yes, and I have refrained to a large extent. It's nothing like the febrile activity of my 40s and 50s and 60s. No, I haven't. Then I've had open heart surgery. And two heart attacks. So, you know, simply the nature of things has imposed a certain restraint on me.
Were either one of these heart attacks associated with exorcisms?
One of them was.
One of them was?
Yes, the bad one. But that's the price you pay. And Art, you know, we're only here for a short time.
It is true. It is true. All right, let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hi, where are you, please?
I'm in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Fairbanks, Alaska, yes, sir.
What's on your mind, sir?
Say again?
What's on your mind?
I have a question for you. I used to be involved in magic before I was a Christian.
Uh-huh.
And summoning demons and all that kind of strange stuff.
Yes.
The question I have for you, though, is now there's a person up here who is infested with them.
Who's in touch with what?
Demons. I mean, you can actually see it because some of the stuff he does.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, as a Christian, should I even attempt to cast them out or just leave them alone?
Oh, that's a good question.
It is. Unless you have special authority, don't touch it with a bat. Don't touch it. Keep away from it. Protect yourself. Don't attempt to deal with it.
Is that clear enough for you, caller?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's stronger than you. It's more intelligent than you.
Okay.
All right. Have a good morning and stay safe. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hi.
Hi. Good morning to both of you. Mark, like I said, I'm sorry I hadn't been listening this morning, but I am taping it for later listening.
Where are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Where are you?
I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
All right.
Excuse me.
Your
name is Bill. Art,
I
got a question for you and also one for Dr. Martin.
Yes,
if I remember correctly, if you want to jog my memory here, you said that you had a story about a Ouija board which you would not dare tell.
That's right.
Okay. that's all I wanted to know about that. But
that's all I'm willing to say.
Hey, Dr. Martin,
yeah.
It's a pleasure and honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. I was listening to Art's show earlier, and I believe Sunday night you had a Dreamland thing where you had a seance. Is that correct, Art?
I have a recording. I didn't have a seance. I wouldn't do that. But I had somebody on who had conducted a seance, and in the course of that, there was the sound of babies crying.
Yeah.
And I played that on the air. Yes, indeed.
I recall, I believe a woman called in and said she heard a female voice in the background as well.
Yes.
But nonetheless, Dr. Martin, my question for you is just very simply, what is the role of a seance in the act of demonic possession?
And the role of the seance is chiefly this. It lays you open to invasion. Because the essence of a seance is the sitting or standing or lying down. It depends on what physical posture they take. And trying to commune with the spirits, and that means opening the channels of your mind and will. And if you do that, you're sitting duck.
A sitting duck. All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Hi, this is Rita.
Yes, Rita.
I have a question. My sister-in-law that lives with us is mentally retarded.
Yes.
And I feel that sometimes what I see coming out of her is like a demonic thing. What happens is, if you ask her who her friend is, you know, and you ask her in a certain way, she'll say, well, my friend is Satan of the Black Mountain. And if my daughter knows how to get her going and just get crazy. And I just wonder sometimes if...
Has she always been like this?
Well, not from the start of my marriage to my husband. See, he told me, he said, she's evil. And
well,
she has evil ways about her.
Has she always been retarded?
As far as, yes. As far as, you know, she was born that way. And she's got, like, the mentality of a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the doctors have said. Now, I've seen her as normal as you and I. I mean, I don't know how you are, but I mean...
Yeah, you can presume we're normal.
But, I mean, she... See, my daughter pretends to vomit, and she'll just go off.
Yes,
and I'll tell her, I'll say, will you stop? You know, just sit there and stay calm. Ignore her, you know, if she can't do it.
Doctor... It brings up an awfully good question. A retarded child, is that an easier target for possession?
No, it's not. It's not. There has to be collaboration of the will for possession.
Doctor, I wonder how many people in mental institutions all across this country, instead of being mentally ill, may be possessed?
I've only gone through, with a psychiatrist, I've only gone through two mental institutions, let's call them that.
Yes, sir.
And over 50% are obviously possessed in those two places.
So then even in the case of a child like this lady's child, you would recommend, based on what you heard, that perhaps she see somebody like yourself?
Yes, somebody in authority to do something about it. But it's very hard to judge a case like this at this distance. But from what she says, it looks like that.
All right, ma'am.
It looks like she could be possessed.
It could be that she could be infested,
Yeah, because, you know, I've talked to a priest. See, I'm Catholic.
Yep.
And I've talked to a priest, and they think I'm crazy. What I see is I can't get her to open up or to be this way in front of anybody. But it's like the sheep that is the wolf that's under the sheepskin.
Yeah, I know. And you're being very much more accurate than you know. In describing it, you must find a good priest.
And I've talked to priests that say that they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Of course not. They're afraid of their pants.
And
is that most priests, doctor, or a majority of them?
Unfortunately, today, a majority. Because, you see, now when they're training in seminaries, they're not given any formation whatever. They're given no formation, no theological formation, and no instruction. And then... A lot of them, a lot of the professors in seminaries, a lot of the trainers, a lot of the bishops don't believe in the devil.
Oh.
And that's great PR for him, because it means, as you know, during the war, the successful spy was the one nobody knew was a spy.
Well, how can, a dumb question from layman, how can a priest believe in the Almighty and not the other force? I mean,
because actually, Art, it's a very telling question, and it's an intelligent question, because overall their faith has weakened. I said before to you, it's a dimension. It's not a quantum. It's a dimension. And overall it has, and I have done this, I've probed people who don't believe in this, and I find that their belief in the resurrection of Christ Jesus, their belief in heaven, their belief in hell is all shaken to bits. Sometimes non-existent.
Can I ask you about a very sensitive question again regarding the fallibility of priests? In America, in the church, there have been too many stories, doctor, of priests after their vows of celibacy who have then...
Pedophilia.
Yes.
There have. But there's no doubt about it. There is a plague of pedophilia. Now, by the way, look, Art, there are 55,000 priests in the dioceses of America. And of that amount of 55,000, about approximately 2 to 4% have been found guilty of pedophilia, have been pedophiliacs. It's still too much. And there's no doubt about it, there's been a plague, and it's been worsened because of the policy of bishops to cover things up. Whereas, if you find a pedophiliac, priest or layman, you go to the nearest precinct and report it. in my book.
Yes.
But they didn't do that. They covered it up. And they transferred the man to another parish with more little boys and little girls to be violated. And therefore they have had a very severe amount of trouble. And by the way, they, since 1985, the church in America has spent well over $500 or $600 million in out-of-court settlements.
Oh, my.
And that's the money and the dimes and the nickels of the faithful.
Is it, Doctor, because of the church's attitude about it? In other words, they feel that there's been a breach of faith and they want to work on that breach of faith instead of letting it become a civil matter? Or is it just a plain old cover-up?
No, Art, it's more complicated than that. There isn't the network of homosexual priests. We know that now. Unfortunately, there is a network, and they cover for each other. So that's a complicating factor. It's not a wide network, but it does exist, number one. Number two, as you know, for any ecclesiastic in the Catholic Church, there are only two evils, bankruptcy or moral scandal.
Yes.
These are two things they're afraid of.
Yes.
They're not afraid of anything else. And therefore they try and cover anything up which is like, which breathes scandal, because that destroys prestige and finally stops money, stops people contributing.
What are your feelings about vows of celibacy?
I'll tell you something. My experience is as follows, whether as a chaplain in the U.S. Air Force, which I was, or as a parish priest, which I have functioned as, and as a priest now dealing with people, there's no doubt about it that a priest who is a celibate, a real celibate, not just a eunuch, you know...
A real celibate, yes.
Many who take the vow of celibacy are really eunuchs. Somebody has put a chastity belt on them and thrown away the key, and they're looking for the key. And sometimes they find it to be rude and lewd about it. But genuine celibacy makes you so specialized that people can confide in you.
Yes.
And they know you belong to them and them alone. And they know you're not going home at night to your wife. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you're not sharing anything with anybody, your heart. Your heart belongs to Christ as a celibate, if you're truly a celibate. But celibacy is it's a gift, by the way. And it's a rare thing, the practice of celibacy. There are a lot of celibates who take that vow. But the practice of celibacy does make a man very special, because he's uniquely devoted. And by the way, I don't know if you've found this out, but the biggest psychiatrists I know, the biggest surgeons, they're practically celibate.
Yes.
They really are.
But there's a price, and that...
There's a huge price. There's no doubt about it. And if that's where good celibacy comes in. If you are really a celibate, you don't dry up like a fig and become hard and emotionless and insensitive to human feeling. Do you understand me?
Yes.
It's such a difficult thing to attain. But if you do attain it, boy, people find it so useful, so practical, so helpful.
And some of those who don't end up... perhaps as pedophiles or other...
That's right. And as abrasive characters, because they're frustrated beyond belief.
All right. You answered that in a very straightforward way. Doctor, stand by. We'll be back to you shortly. Dr. Malachi Martin is in Manhattan. Wherever you are, don't move. We'll be right back. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC. Once again, here I am. My guest is Dr. Malachi Martin in Manhattan, up very late at this hour. And we'll get right back to him. Mars is coming. That's right, everybody. It's really coming. Mars is about to be this coming summer. It's about to be closer to Earth than it's been in 50,000 years. Your view of Mars through a high-class deep space telescope is going to be the best view there's been in 50,000 years. This is not to be missed. And so we have for you this wonderful, big, classic telescope. This is the monster of them all, folks. Comes on a tripod with an equatorial mount. It's absolutely the best scope for the money and deep space stargazing. planet hunting, and visiting real close up with Mars. What an opportunity. It's at forthenightsky.com. That's F-O-R, thenightsky.com. And aside from just that event worth seeing once in a lifetime, getting a telescope for you and your family will begin to change your outlook on a lot of things in life about who we are and where we are with reference to everything else that's out there. It's very educational as well as fun. The number, if you'd like to order for Christmas, is 1-800-394-3307 at forthenightsky.com on the web. That's F-O-R, thenightsky.com on the web. Or 1-800-394-3307. I'm sort of sorting through the faxes and questions that I'm getting. Dr. Martin,
yes.
Another one I want you to listen to here.
Sure.
Dr. Martin, I went to Brophy College Prep in Phoenix, the premier Jesuit high school in Arizona.
Yes.
Since I've left there, I've been tormented by a will that is other than my own. I've been forced to commit acts that I would never have dreamed possible myself. I have no control over them. I want to do otherwise, but I can't stop. I feel I've been violated spiritually. I've had my mind and will taken over by other spirits. I know I have felt a force in me driving me to do other than I want to do. I am not a Jesuit. I am more or less of the new spirituality that's out there. I feel I have been tormented by demons and have been possessed. I need to know how I can stop it. I want to have faith, but I'm scared. I believe each individual holds God within himself. But I'm so afraid of losing control to these others again that I can't hold any faith at all. What can I do?
Go to the local priest, bishop, and get an exorcist.
An exorcist?
Get an exorcist, yes.
How hard are they to find today?
Not so difficult. In certain places they don't exist, but in other places they do. And the first place to go to is the diocesan chancery or the local parish priest.
All right, good advice. Mr. Bell, this is Catherine from the Gulf Coast area of Texas. Would you please ask Father Martin this question? Father John O'Connor, not Cardinal John O'Connor,
yes,
said because the energy loss from a true exorcist is so great that a Catholic exorcist lives only about 15 years after he is deeply involved in this. He further says the hatred from the demon is so horrendous that it literally drains him. Yes?
Yes. But there are exceptions to the 15-year rule.
You must be one of them.
Yes, I am.
How do you feel? Why do you feel that you've been so blessed?
I don't know, Art. I just don't know. I take it as it comes. I didn't expect to live this long. I really didn't.
Surprised, huh?
Surprised is right. If you had told me that one day would be 76, I would have horse laughed.
Horse laughed.
Yes.
I would like to ask you about something we've dealt with on this program several times. I know your background is in archaeology.
That's right.
So therefore, there have been many who have speculated and talked and thought about the pyramids, the Sphinx,
yes,
at Giza in Egypt.
Yes, yes.
There is some work going on that may result in the opening of some secret passages below the Sphinx.
Yes, I've read about this. I'm not au courant with it. I don't know how far they've got. I don't know really what's being done. But I know there's something being done of that nature.
Would you be surprised if there is something very ancient found there?
No. The soil of Egypt and of Palestine in general preserves things because it's dry. And I'm convinced that one of these days we're going to find the most extraordinary things, like, for instance, a copy of the Bible coming from pre-exilic times, that is, before the Babylonian captivity. That's about 580 B.C., which would be tremendous to find.
And if we did, what would you imagine might be within that would cast doubt on much of what we believe?
It wouldn't. It would confirm.
It would confirm.
It would confirm, because I'm certain that we have a proper tradition, but it would be lovely to have a manuscript from that time. From the time of Isaiah.
Do you believe that the Ark of the Covenant will be found?
Personally, I do. But I have no objective scientific grants were saying so. I think it will be found.
Well, as you know, this new tunnel, archaeological tunnel,
yes,
that has just,
yes,
been reopened again.
Yes, caused all the trouble.
Yes, many believe that the Ark of the Covenant is close.
It may well, Art, it may well be. As I say, I have a feeling that we will find the Ark of the Covenant, that God will allow us to find it. But I have no archaeological reason for saying that.
All right, one more and then we'll go back to the phones. Joseph, sure, in Seattle wants to know, do you have any comment about the numerous sightings and encounters of and with what are being called extraterrestrial beings and their relationship, if any, with demons, angels, and the quickening process?
The only comment I would make is that some of the so-called or so-defined sightings of extraterrestrials sounds like demonic activity, but I have never examined the thing closely and scientifically and professionally, so I don't know. But some of it sounds very like demonic activity and nothing to do with extraterrestrial beings, if such things exist.
Do you rule out the possibility of extraterrestrial beings?
No, I do not. We just don't know.
Would the existence of them in any way shake your faith?
No, it would not. Not the slightest way. It would expand my consciousness. For instance, when Columbus discovered America, in that sense discovered America, it was a mind-opener for the Europeans.
Certainly was.
It was a mind-opener. I mean, it revolutionized the whole of Europe and the whole of the world. And they found it impossible to believe it at the beginning, because they believed there were two-headed men and giants and misshapen creatures outside Europe. They didn't know anything better. Then they suddenly found out that there were generations of people living outside of Europe that had lived and died for hundreds and hundreds of years. So revolutionists, and they didn't lose their faith. On the contrary, they expanded it. I have an inkling, I don't know, but from the data so far assembled, I have a feeling that there's no extraterrestrial life within our galaxy.
That may well be.
I think it's outside our galaxy.
That may well be.
But that's only my own assessment.
Yes,
I'm not an astronomer.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hi.
Hello, Dr. Martin.
Yes.
It's about 5 years ago, I had in a weak moment,
yes,
I had a suicide attempt.
Yes.
It seemed like there were forces in the house that saved me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Vancouver.
Vancouver, Canada.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, about 6 months before that, we were doing a bunch of, not Ouija, but the same sort of thing in,
yes,
the house.
Yes.
And it seemed as though there were forces.
Yes.
And it seemed as though I was saved. But I've had nothing but bad luck since this time. Can you tell me,
Well, if you have dabbled in the Ouija board seriously, and if you have dabbled in any, it's occult, there's no doubt about that, you're dealing with occult forces, then you may have some attachments to you that you don't like, spiritual attachments in your spirit, and you want to get rid of them.
Yes.
And you want to get a good priest who can get rid of them for you. It's very hard to get rid of them yourself, but a good priest can do that.
I'm not a Catholic or...
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. You're a human being.
All right.
You're redeemed by Christ, whether you like it or not.
Hmm.
Whether you believe it or not.
So, seek proper help.
That's right.
Doctor, the nature of suicide...
Yes.
What happens to a soul that commits suicide?
Well, you know, it's called Satan's eighth sacrament, suicide. There are seven satanic sacraments, apparently, but so suicide is the eighth one. What happens is briefly this, that by my own hand, I cut myself off from leading a life according to God's will, who is the master of life and of death. And by doing that, I violate a fundamental commandment of his, which is do not kill yourself. It's a fundamental law in my nature. And I thereby enter the gray area where I can never see the light again. I can never be with God. I can never have happiness. And I suffer the torment of being separated from the one thing that would have made me happy, would have made me, beatified me forever, God and his beauty and his truth and his heaven.
What about those people that suffer physical maladies that are terminal and horrible and simply...
I know.
And simply want out. And I've thought about this and talked about it on the radio as a talk host over many years. And my position was always sort of, whose life is it anyway? I'll be in control of my own life. Nobody will tell me what to do. My wife told me, doctor, don't do it. Even if you're suffering, you are meant to go through this. And if you don't go through it, something terrible is going to happen. So, and those words have rung in my ears for years.
I know, and they ring in my ears now that you've said them, and I won't forget them. They've been said to me on other occasions by other people for other reasons, for the same reasons. I don't know. I really don't know, Art, in the whole of human history that I have read and talked about and inquired into, I don't know of any explanation justifying human suffering except the sufferings of Jesus Christ on his cross. If I can identify with his sufferings, in spite of my cancer, in spite of my arthritis, in spite of my AIDS, if I have these things, if I can identify with his sufferings, I can merit a greater place in heaven. I can merit a greater closeness to God. And I know in my soul what I want is God's beauty and truth.
So then to avoid it by taking your own life is to exclude yourself from his company.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. Now, I do not exclude at all, Art. I must tell you this much. I do not exclude that, for instance, if I proceed to take cyanide or something, you know, some suicidal act, I do not exclude that before I die, God can touch my heart and make me repent of it, even though I can't undo what I've done.
In other words, redemption always possible, even the last second. But
yes, I don't exclude God's mercy, but you're running a terrible risk. You know?
The numbers might not be with you.
That's right.
All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Good morning.
Yes, thank you.
Where are you, sir?
I'm calling from California.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with Dr. Malachi. I had a couple of questions, but for the first, I was very concerned about something that you said. You had stated that something about the draining of your spirit.
Yes, that's right.
I didn't really understand.
All right. Let's try and explain that again. In the course of an exorcism, your spirit is drained, or a piece of you is lost forever. Is that about right?
That's about it. You give out something you can't get back. Otherwise, you're no good. You're not effective. It's like the love you give your child or your wife or your husband or your country or a cause. If you really give love, you don't get it back.
Does that help you, caller?
Well, I just wanted to humbly say that there is that one infinite spirit of love that is inexhaustible.
That's right. That's right.
But the question that I had, in my studying of metaphysics, and I try to, I do stay within, you know, the matrix of Christian principles.
Yes. Yes.
I come to realize that throughout Christendom that there is much phenomena to be studied, from the Appalachian people who handle serpents and drink poison in the name of Christ, and glossolalia in the church, stigmatas, and these exorcisms and apparitions.
So your question is?
I just wanted him to comment on that. And another question that I had was
yes?
Is not the revelation, in your thinking, a prophecy of mass exorcism?
Mass exorcism, I never heard of that. I don't think it's possible.
Too bad.
It's just not possible.
Too bad. Because we could use one.
Well, we could, Art. We could, but this is one-on-one. One-on-one.
It's always one-on-one, isn't it?
It is finally one-on-one. There is such a thing as a demon sharing several people. And you can get rid of that demon and exclude that. But it's not a mass exorcism. You're still concentrating on one damn spirit.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Yes, this is Thomas in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Thomas.
It's an honor to speak to you, Father Martin.
Thank you very much for being there.
Yes, I just finished reading your book, Hostage to the Devil, and I thought it was one of the best books I've ever read. It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the chapters, you spoke about a professor who was one of the leaders in parapsychic development.
That's right.
And astral travel.
That's right.
And I was wondering if that has any connection with what is widely known now as remote viewing.
Yes, it has.
And if there's any demonic possession related to remote viewing.
Yes, there is. There is a demonic possession related to it.
In the process of doing what these remote viewers do, and it is very interesting, Doctor, because there was a Nightline program.
Yes.
And it turns out our own government, for 20 years, has been involved in remote viewing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
What is a person doing when they remote view? It's not exactly an out of body, or is it out of body? And they are subject then to all kinds of things, as you are when you open other doors with Ouija boards or whatever.
I'll tell you what it is, Art, really, what is at stake. And it's a very volatile. It's like nitroglycerin for the soul. It's this. There are latent powers in us all.
Yes. I believe that.
The Nazis, in their death camps, seeking to develop the perfect mind control, developed means, they found means of developing these latent powers. When we conquered Germany, we imported not merely physical scientists, rocket scientists like von Braun and the others.
Right.
We also imported the doctors who had gone in for mind control. And that some of those mind control methods were used in the special forces of the USA. And they have found that in certain cases, they produce the very traits that you find in possessed people. But it does give remote viewing, makes it a reality, and remote action a reality. And the Soviets in their day and the Nazis went much further than we ever went. We learned from them. But it's highly dangerous because you probably heard me say, and it went by your ear, Art, and I didn't emphasize it, I spoke about the Middle Plateau.
The Middle Plateau.
I mentioned that once. That Middle Plateau is the plateau on which evil spirits work. And they use every paranormal paranormal power that they can, that's latent in human beings and can be evinced, can be used. And it's very dangerous and volatile. It's the nitroglycerin of the soul. It can blow it up. And it's a very dangerous thing because you let loose something amongst human beings as a group that's destructive in the extreme and completely immoral. There's no ethic, there's no moral, there's no rule at all.
No, I believe that as well. I believe that as well, but it is real, isn't it?
Oh, gee whiz, it's real. That's the difficulty about it, it is real. And I know people who teach it.
So do I.
Yeah. But not for me. Thank you very much. I'm a coward. I run. I really do, Art. I have nothing to do with it. And I want to stay with the devils or with the angels.
You know, circling back, you again, yes. I can't get it out of my mind. There are these people who have comfortably made a deal and are living with this deal.
Oh, yes. And they expect to go home to Satan.
Oh, yes. Are there more and more of these people? You see them, you know them.
More and more. There are more and more appearing to be there, anyway. And it's very hard to get away from the impression that there are more disciples than there ever were before. Of Lucifer. Lucifer in particular, not much Satan. Lucifer.
Listen, yes. Doctor, we are at the end of another hour.
Okay.
Are you willing to stay for the final one?
Yes.
You are. Wonderful.
Why don't we crown it up and finish it up?
So we shall. Stay right there, relax. It'll be several minutes. We'll be back to you.
Okay.
Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest. I've got a couple of questions, one concerning something called the Guff when we come back. You're listening to the CBC Radio Network. I'm Art Bell.